So last week, I started a sermon series on love. We looked at what love is. Then this morning, we're going to continue in that series. Turn with me in your Bibles, or you can just look at the scriptures behind, whichever is easier for you. But we're going to start in 1 John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13. There is no 1 John 13. So just John 13, 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And that's what we did. Last week, we dived into what love is. Remember, we defined the different forms of love because we not only believe this, but we've seen that the world is hungering for love. They are. They're hungering for love. They don't even understand why, but they hunger for it. Matter of fact, they will practically, have you noticed people practically will do anything to satisfy that? Anything. We looked at a couple wise philosophers last week. They were songwriters. Well, I found some more. Let's see if you can remember some of these ones. Because there's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you. You may not know that one. Another one, love is all you need. Don't know that one either, huh? How about this? I want you to know what love is, and I want you to show me. Because when a man loves a woman, because I just called to say I love you. Because that's the power of love. Yeah. But honestly, it really shouldn't surprise us, should it? You know, we learned that God is love, right? And whether we understand it or not, there is an unquenchable deep desire inside of us for God. There is. We know that we need God, and we will search until we find what we're looking for. I guess you too was pretty prophetic. Right? When they said, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But that's not true, right? For those of us, we found it, right? Matter of fact, I would say the vast majority, if not every single person here, has found that. They understand the power of love because they have Jesus inside their hearts. But see, since we have what the world hungers for, we know what it is. We know how to get it. We know how incredible it makes you feel once you have it inside of you and growing. We know that God wants us to not only let other people know, but we have to do it in a way that will cause them to listen. We have to, I guess you'd say, shine in a way where people will be willing to hear what we have to say. Now, to some of you say, Pastor, that's not an easy thing to do. Well, honestly, what I've learned, for some people, especially the more that they practice showing love, it actually does become easier. Have you noticed that? The more that you, I guess you'd say, practice. But I have learned that some people are really hard to love. And God has specifically put certain people in my life. It almost seems to challenge me in that. Can you love this one? No, that's an easy one. But can you love this person? Can you love that one? I mean, but see, the problem is that usually the reason why we can't love people really well is because we're using the wrong tools. And this is what I mean by that. Have you ever tried to hammer in a nail using a wrench? My dad's actually shaking his head, which kind of scares me. Have you ever tried to loosen a screw with a saw? Now, I'm by no means a handyman. I'm really not. As a matter of fact, when I usually need to get things done at my house, I usually call Mike and I beg and I say, Mike, please come over and fix something in my house. I actually have a toolbox. I see some of you are laughing. And if you saw my toolbox, you probably would laugh because it's very small. The tools in there almost look brand new. It's from lack of use. And the funny thing is you should see me actually trying to use some of the tools in my toolbox. Yeah, you would. You would laugh. And matter of fact, you know what I've also found is that half the tools that I need, I can't even find in my toolbox. It's like they're not even there. And which is why I usually call Mike and have Mike fix it for me. Now, how many of you understand in regards to love? How many of you feel my pain in that when it comes to learning the different tools in regards to love? Because we learn that when it comes to love, God kind of has given us a toolbox. He has. And he's put inside of that toolbox a lot of different methods or ways to show love. We call them the love languages. Gary Chapman did an excellent job in the book on kind of laying out the different ways that we can show love. And not only that, but we can receive love. But the problem is that we've learned is that every single person is different. And we're creatures of habit. So there are certain tools or certain love languages that we're really good at because that's the way God designed us, right? And so it may be a hammer and we can hammer a nail, but when something needs to be screwed in, we're still trying to hammer it in. We're not using a screwdriver. We're just brute forcing it in. And the problem is that different people receive love in different ways. So that's a problem, right? Because you don't want to damage the person. You actually want to love the person. Now, so what I want to be doing over, I guess you'd say, the next 5 weeks is I want to cover each one of the five different love languages. Why? Because once you understand what the tool is, how it works, maybe it's one that you're actually really good at, or maybe it's one that you don't even have in your toolbox, or maybe you do, it's just buried down deep and you've never used it before. I actually still have tools in my toolbox that are still in the package. I've never took the cardboard off them. I've never undone them. They're still sealed. Well, I think that you'll learn that you have some tools in your toolbox that maybe you just haven't used yet. But if you do, you will have the ability to speak words of life into people, which will let them be open to hearing about your relationship with God. And that's what our job is, right? Is to go and to preach, make disciples, to let people know who Jesus is. So what I want to do is I want to look at the life of Jesus, and he's going to kind of be our model for love throughout this whole series. I mean, to Jesus, love was an action word. What do I mean by that? That means that, you know, something always came from him when he wanted to show love to someone. Matter of fact, usually something almost triggered it inside him. Often you'll read that Jesus was moved with compassion, and then immediately after that happened, he moved in love. And he was versatile. I mean, he's Jesus. He moved in all the different love languages. So this morning, let's look at the first one. The first one is words of affirmation. Now, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, I'm going to hit a couple different verses this morning, so I'm not going to have time to really to wait on this. So if you want to write them down or look behind me, that probably would be best. But Proverbs 18:21 in the Message version says, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now, when you think of words, words basically are either written or verbal ways of communicating with someone. The objective in that is to, I guess, to give information in a way where there's understanding. So that's what words are. Now, affirmation, it's emotional support. It's encouragement. Matter of fact, when you affirm something, what you're doing is you're confirming the truth that you see inside of someone. And you're saying that it's valuable truth. That's what you're doing. You're affirming something. So when you think of words of affirmation, that's what they are. They're written or spoken words that are understood by the one person that you're trying to give them to. And the purpose is to inspire courage into someone. It's to strengthen something valuable inside that person. Basically, verbal compliments or kind of, well, really, they're probably one of the most powerful ways of communicating love to people. Now, here, let me give you some for examples. You know, Debbie, I was so impressed with how you were able to handle that situation at school. I mean, to be honest, I mean, when I get in situations like that, I get flustered, but you just took the bull by the horns, and you were able, no matter how many times insults were hurled at you, you were able to stand strong, show love and kindness, and honestly, I wish that I could have handled that situation like you did. That was awesome. It could be something like, wow, Pam, you have such an incredible eye for color and detail. I mean, I go into a room and I can't see any, matter of fact, I'm colorblind, but you just have the ability to bring color and form and texture, and it makes things look beautiful. And I honestly wish that I had that ability in myself. Look, Mom, I love your apple pie. I could eat your apple pie for breakfast. I could eat it for lunch. I could eat it for dinner. I could eat it anytime that it's available. So you know what? Anytime that you want to bestow upon me your apple pie, it's fine with me because I love how you bake. It could be Dominique. Sing, show, and tell? The way you sang? Are you kidding me? I didn't have no clue that you could sing like that. And you get up there a cappella, not even someone on the note on the piano kind of giving you a starting key, and you just belt that out of nowhere? Where did that come from? I mean, that was just incredible. I mean, if I had the ability to sing like that, wow, that was incredible. Thank you for doing that. See, and those are just a few examples of how you can affirm someone. It's us looking inside of someone, seeing something valuable, and speaking life to that area. See, when we speak life, that's what we're saying. We're saying, you have value. And as we'll see with all the love languages, I want you to understand this. The objective with love is not for you to get anything at all. Nothing. Your objective when you are showing someone love is all about the other person, has nothing to do with you. There should be no intent. There should be no ulterior motive. It is you just saying, I want to give you something. Now, are there benefits that come from love? Yes. Often we will still receive something in return for what we're doing. But if it's true love, it has nothing to do with you at all. It has everything to do with the other person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, one thing I've learned with words of affirmation, and you'll actually see this in the book, I think Gary Chapman does a good job outlining this, is there are many different dialects to the love language of words of affirmation. And he actually uses that specific word. I think it's actually very descriptive. The first one that we want to look at is encouraging words. So one of the ways that you can affirm people through words is through encouraging words. And that's what the word encourage means. It means to inspire courage. All of us have areas in our life that we're insecure. All of us have areas that we either due to failures or due to just the unknown, we don't have any idea what's coming up. That puts fear and insecurity inside of us. So when we link that with words of affirmation, what it allows us to do is you're trying to impart into them courage. I literally almost see it as a courage injection. It's you speaking into someone's life where they may not feel the confidence that they can. They may have forgotten the fact or be removed from their focus, the fact that God is able, that God is more powerful. When you use words of encouragement, you're actually almost pulling out of them the godness or the God ability in them. One thing I've also noticed with encouraging words is sometimes we'll encourage someone in a specific area, and it actually bubbles over into other areas of their life that they weren't even afraid of, or they never maybe even had the courage before to even think or consider of stepping out into. I love this verse. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. It says, so speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope. So you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. Now, let me emphasize probably one of the most, I guess you'd say, the most effective ways of doing words of encouragement is through empathy. You know what that means? It means being able to understand or see where that person is. Now, why is that so valuable? Well, I've learned that there are many different experiences that I go through in life, and it's not for me. It's actually for someone else. God will turn the situations that you thought were hard, that you thought were unfair, that you thought were just, God, where did that come from? God will use those as opportunities for you to speak words of encouragement to other people and allow them to not walk through what you did. See, so often we look at, I guess you'd say, situations that are negative in our life, and we just sit and complain. What the truth is God will then turn that situation to good. He will allow you to be able to speak words of life into someone else. Matter of fact, one of the ways I've been able to do that is even with my own kids. Now, for those of you who have children, especially those that are in the middle school and high school range, you're going to learn that living life as a Christian in public school is hard. It's extremely difficult. Matter of fact, if there was an area that I guess you'd say was the most challenging for me, it was that when I was growing up. And I'm able to speak words of encouragement into my kids about that. I can talk about the times where I had to sit alone at lunch because no one wanted to sit with me. Because they said that they were born right the first time. Because I was born again, they were born right the first time. I remember it got to the point where I got teased so much inside the cafeteria that I used to eat my lunch in the bathroom. I used to pretend that I had to go to the bathroom, go into the stall, and I'd eat my lunch in there. Because that was my way of at least being able to have lunch without being made fun of while I was at school. I mean, made fun of by classmates. I would have been made fun of by teachers. They would call me out in the middle of class and would make comments about Jesus. I even had coaches. I had a coach my senior year, my senior year basketball coach when I was on varsity. He used to intentionally schedule practices on Sunday morning because he knew that's when I had church. And he knew that I was not going to skip church, and he made a rule where if you miss practice, you can't play in the game. So I've been able to help my kids as they've walked through that life in high school, help them to understand that it will pass. High school doesn't last forever. But see, we can use encouraging words to not only those who are following Jesus, but we can actually use same encouraging words for those who haven't decided to follow Jesus yet. We can speak words of life into people. Matter of fact, I love the fact that it's injecting courage into people to do what they normally wouldn't. And why would you need courage? It's because you're fearful of something, right? Well, what 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts down all fear. See, that's why words of affirmation, injection of love into someone can be so powerful. Oh, I'm going to have to keep going. All right, second word. So we have encouraging words, but we also can give kind words. Now, kind words is a little different. Matter of fact, we learned that last week, right? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. See, if we're going to talk, text, FaceTime, it's kind of hard to keep up nowadays with all the different ways that you can socially, converse with people in the world today. But I can tell you this, if you're going to do any form of communication with people, you better wrap it in kindness. You have to wrap it in kindness. How do we know when something is wrapped in kindness? Usually we can tell by their body language, can't we? You can usually, even in the written form, I can tell because something is all capped. Or if you're like my wife or my daughter, they put like a million emojis, that either say they're happy or sad or whatever. I mean, but look, can you tell the difference between this? Yeah, Rob, I'm so sorry that I offended you last week. Yeah, I feel really bad about that. Sorry, maybe I won't do it next time. Versus, I'm sorry. I honestly didn't know what was going on. And look, you know, can you forgive me? And matter of fact, if there's something that I can do to make it right, let me know. But what I did was wrong, and I'm not going to make any excuse for it. So please forgive me. There's a difference, right, in how we wrap things. And I've learned that I've seen sarcasm build walls in relationships that sometimes seem so impossible to climb over. But you know what I've also seen? I've seen a simple word of kindness melt hearts, cause bitterness to be destroyed, cause almost a thawing of what we would think to be a cold, hard heart. One simple word of kindness. Matter of fact, I love this. It's in Romans 2. It's the second part of the verse, Romans 2, verse 4. It says, don't you realize that God's kindness is meant to turn you away from your sins? See, another way of putting that is, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And that's so true. It's God's kindness toward us that causes us to come to Him. Isn't that what draws you to Him? Because He loves us, no matter what we've done. That makes us want to love Him so much more, doesn't it? Because on the other side, we understand that a bad attitude and sarcasm, they're the killers of relationships, aren't they? They destroy them. They take what could be like a breath of fresh air that you could inject life into someone. It just becomes this pile of stinky gas. Have you ever been in a room that just got emptied really quick because of what smells in there? That's what sarcasm and a bad attitude does. We can create the atmosphere in a room, but I'm telling you, one kind word, one word of just peace that says, I love you, and I want you to understand how I feel. See, the family of God should be known for their kind words. Words bring life to people. Here, another verse, Colossians 4, verse 8. Colossians 4, verse 8, it says, I'm sending him to you for one reason. I want you to know what's happening here. I want him to cheer you up and to make your hearts strong. Isn't that how we should be living life? Our goal is to be injected around other people and bring healing to people's hearts instead of using a bad attitude or sarcasm to dry it all up. Third way of showing words of affirmation is words of appreciation. Words of appreciation. Actually, most psychologists believe that the greatest need that people have is to feel appreciated. Matter of fact, what that means is they want to feel valued. They want to feel respected. Matter of fact, they literally want to feel that they're treasured. And so these words, they're not to try to help us to overcome anything. That's kind of like what encouraging words are. They are ways that we can point to someone and we see something inside of them and we call it out, and we call it out as valuable. You know what I've learned, especially being a parent? That is so important in the lives of kids. Speaking words of appreciation to them. I'm telling you, the enemy is after our kids. They are. Matter of fact, they spend most of their days at school just trying to survive. They're just trying to not be the one picked on. They just hope that they have that seat that they can sit next to someone at lunchtime so they can kind of feel that they're not alone. And then when they come home to us parents, right? And we the ones that see the messy room, we see the homework that's not done, we see the chores, we, you know, the sporting events they got to go to, the musical instruments that need to practice. That's what we see, right? We have all the good intentions in the world. I mean, we just want to help them, right? We just want them to improve. We want them to have a better life than we did. Parents, we need to learn to look our kids in the eyes and just tell them how valuable they are. And you don't even have to be their parent to do that. You can find any child and speak words of life into them. I'm telling you, I love going to Jonathan's cross-country meets. Why? Because there are some parents who don't go. And there are some kids who've never had their parent there watch them. And you know what? I'm the goofy parent who yells and screams and cheers for every single person, regardless of what team you're on. That's me. But you know why? Because I want to inject words of life into them. I want to give them more than what they've been getting. Look, I don't care what it is. It may be their smile. It may be the fact that they can just laugh and it's contagious. Talk about that. Speak that into them. It may be their passion. Maybe they're passionate about sports or music or art or just serving. See that in them. Call it out for what it is. It's valuable. Appreciate it. It may be just their love for God or their love for other people. Call it out. Tell them it's valuable. Look, it's okay to see something in them that you wish that you had too. I'll give you for example. I was driving with my son, Jonathan, and we were talking about some conflict that was going on at home. And he basically was, he's pretty competitive. You know Jonathan, he's actually really competitive. He gets that probably from me. I'll have to apologize to him for that. But he loves to win. And I remember him talking about something, and then he made this statement, but I let them win. And I'm like, what? You let them win? Why did you let them win? I mean, because I'm the competitive guy. I mean, so I can't even imagine just letting someone win. And he's like, yeah, I just let them win. And I'm like, buddy, why did you do that? He goes, well, they wanted it more than me. And I just wanted to show them that that it was okay. And, you know, basically I was just loving them. And I felt like this stinking big. I know what I did. I literally looked him in the eye and I said, buddy, believe it or not, your dad wants to be like you. And he looked at me like, what? I said, I do. I said, bud, that's something that's inside of you that I want. But your dad, yeah. And I see it in you. I see something precious in you. I see something valuable in you. And I want it. Psalms 139, verse 14. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I mean, that's how God sees us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But the truth is we don't see ourselves that way, do we? We're our own worst critics sometimes, aren't we? But that's our job in this world, right? Is to see gold inside of someone and pull it out and say, I see that in you. So what are some different things that we can do to be more effective when we're giving words of affirmation? What are things that we can do? Number one, I think that we should be more consistent in our praise. More consistent in our praise. Look, are we known for being an encouragement to those around us, or are we known as the one who rains on people's parades? Matter of fact, Ephesians 4:29, it says, don't let any evil talk come out of your mouths. Say only what will help to build others up and meet their needs. Then what you say will be a help to those who listen. You know, you may know these people. Have you ever met someone who's just so critical and so sarcastic, you know, about other people that it almost makes it hard to receive anything from them? I mean, literally, they could be trying to compliment you, but you're almost like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting for them to say, you know, all right, but this is the bad part. You know, you're almost like, yeah, I'm glad you like that part of me. You know what I mean? You're kind of like just waiting. But you know what I'm actually trying to do? And I'm not there yet. And this is something that I'm really trying to do with my kids, is just to compliment them and stop. I'm telling you, parents, teachers, adults, learn to just compliment people and leave it at that. You know what I've learned and I've seen myself do, and I got to break this habit, is I compliment them and then I try to improve them. You know what I mean? Right? You know, man, you are great at basketball, but you know, if we just work on your jump shot a little bit or your dribbling, and you know, you could be just that much better. See, I've learned that people remember words of affirmation so much more than the words of correction or instruction. Our jobs as servants of God is to open up doors of opportunity to speak life into people and let our Heavenly Father or the Word of God or the Holy Spirit, let them do the correction. Let them do that. You just speak words of life into them. Speak words of just love into them. Allow God to do the other part. We spend so much time trying to just tweak people. We should just love them. We also should be specific and detailed in your praise. What do I mean by that? Take the time and observe what is the valuable things inside of people. It allows your words of affirmation to be that much more powerful if you could be very detailed in what you say to that specific person. Like, for example, it would be like someone who maybe they were one of those like restaurant, you know, critique people, you know, and they go there and they don't try the food, you know, they may have a couple bites, they're on their phone the whole time, and so they have no idea really what's going around. And then they write a review about the restaurant they went to. But they really have no idea. They didn't take the time to actually learn and do their job. Now, I don't think that the restaurant owner is going to look at that and think it's very valuable, very important. What I've learned is that general comments or observations to most people are worthless. Take the time to get to know people. You know, I can look at someone, you know, I just think you're a great guy. Well, what do you mean? I don't know. I think you're great. Well, thanks. You're great too. I mean, but you know, when you speak words of life into someone, you know what I mean? When you say, Rob, I love the fact that you are willing to go up and sing in front of everyone, no matter what's going on. Why? Because that's just powerful. What it shows me is that no matter what the enemy means for evil in your life, you mean it for good. Now, which is better? Rob, you're a good singer. Or speaking words that are specific and detailed and are relevant to that person. You know what that means? It means you have to actually make time and develop relationships with other people. And what have we been trying to do at Faith Christian Assembly? Every single message I think that I've been preaching on is we need to develop relationships with each other so we can learn to love each other in the way that those people need to be loved. I know. Amen, Pastor. Amen. See, when we reach out to people in love, let's make sure the people that we love, we do it in a way that God has equipped them so we can see the truth, the value, the good that's inside of them. Which kind of flows to the next thing is we need to be sincere in our praise. You can always tell when something's done out of love, can't you? Can you tell when someone feels like they're an agenda? When you have when you have ulterior motives in why you're shining love? The objective of love, we talked about before, is not for you at all. The objective for love is for you to inject something into someone else. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. And that grow up part, that's the really important part of this verse. As a matter of fact, have you ever had one of your kids do this, parents? Come up to you and they just start complimenting you. They want to tell you how much they love you. They love your cooking. They love, you know, you're just the best mom and dad in the world and I just so appreciate you. And after about a couple of those sentences, we kind of shut down, don't we? Because we know what's about to happen, right? Can I have $20? You know, can I have extra video game time? Or can I stay out past my curfew? Or look, speak the truth in love. Speak words of kindness with no ulterior motivation other than to love them the way that Jesus loves them. For those of us who value words of affirmation, that one word of life will carry them for weeks. I'm telling you, It is a treasure that you just can't put a monetarial value on. But just like the previous point of being specific and detailed, you can only be sincere if you take the time to get to know someone in order to give them a word of affirmation. I can tell you, though, this. You give someone a word of affirmation, it will open doors in their life that have been sealed shut by the enemy for years. It's like dynamite, and it just blasts through things. I'm telling you, it's like a turbo fuel injected into that person's heart, and they will go. I have more that I want to cover, but I'm not going to be able to. Now, for those of you who went to small groups this past week, how many of you learned that words of affirmation was your primary love language? How many? Kathleen? Natalia? My mom and dad? Anyone else? Words of affirmation. For those of, now, if you didn't go to a small group, you didn't learn. So you're gonna. How many of you have taken the test in the past and words of affirmation have been your primary? No, David? No. Well, guess what? It's mine. That is my primary love language. You want to charge me up? You want to give me, I guess you'd say, almost like, what do they call those, turbo shots, a five-hour energy or something like that? You want to do that in my life? Speak words of life into me. Encourage me. Show me a kind word. Show me appreciation for the things that I do. See, for those of you who have that gift, you understand just how valuable something like that is. My last verse, Proverbs 12, verse 25. This is a good one to memorize. Proverbs 12, 25. Worry weighs us down. A cheerful word picks us up. Look, at Faith Christian Assembly, we are trying to strengthen our relationship with God. Why? Because God, the relationship, has to be the most important one. We talk about it anytime we're talking about relationships. And that what we're trying to do is position every other one of our relationships to be God-centered. And then what we're trying to do is basically every relationship that God has placed around us, because we learned last week that we're called to love our neighbor. And what have we learned? Our neighbor is basically anyone that God puts in our path. If there, God intentionally puts people around you. It is not a happenstance that they're there. Our job is to love them the way that God wants them to be loved. Words of affirmation can be one of the most powerful tools. The interesting thing is, how much cost is a word of affirmation? It doesn't cost you a dime. But I'm telling you, a word of affirmation done at the right time, when someone is down, you have no idea where they're at in life. You can take that person who is about to give up, that person who says, I'm not worthy, that person who says, my God isn't faithful to me anymore. That person who says, I'm ugly. I'm worthless. No one can love me. Everyone should give up on me. I have failed so many times. One word of affirmation can just grab that person, lift them up out of a pit, show them that who they are in Christ, show them just how valuable and wonderfully made they are. Who in your life needs that? Who in your life needs to hear that word? And you're not doing it so they become your best friend. You're doing it because you want to inject courage, gratitude, love, cheerfulness, peace. Everything that they need in order to accomplish the purpose that God has for them. So your homework this week, who around you is a words of affirmation person? How can you usually tell? Well, they're the ones that are always asking how they're doing. They're the ones that always want to hear. They're the ones that are usually complaining the most, as a matter of fact, verbally through their mouth. Those are the ones that tend to be the most words of affirmation oriented. So when you hear someone complaining, you know what I want you to do? Inject life. Man, I can't believe what my boss is doing. Yeah, but God has placed you here for a purpose. And you know what? You're going to be able to accomplish everything that God has in your life. My finances are just, I can't believe how bad things are going. Yeah, but we serve the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hill. And my God said that he will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Man, I don't have any friends. It seems like everyone has turned on me. Why is everyone leaving? No, we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We have a Savior who says he will never leave us or forsake us. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. How can you speak words of life into people? Find them this week. Inject life into them. Next week, I'm going to be talking about quality time. Quality time. Each one of these will become tools in your toolbox, and you'll be able to use the right tool on the right person to get the right results, which is to let them know that not only that you love them, but more importantly, that God loves them, right? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and end up glorifying your Father in heaven. Why don't you stand with me?